Welcome, podcast listeners. Ray. Ray?
Yes?
Ray, where yes. are you?
Well, Tia, I'm in an undisclosed location in Trumplandia.
Oh, no.
Apparently, my earlier comments have been captured by the new administration, so I'd rather not disclose my exact location. But suffice it to say, there are a lot of very heavy people eating waffles walking all around me. So,
whew, that's good, because it seemed to me that everybody was thinking that you just, I don't know, got airlifted to a hospital and have gotten sick after all that chili eating. I mean,
that has been a problem. One of the reasons I had to come here to Trumplandia is that, you know, stomach acid reducers are so much less expensive than they are in Denmark. So I'm buying them by the gross now. Thank you for your last surprise segment very much.
Well, but Ray, I'm very happy to have you back, even through just the waves of the internet. Very happy.
We are on the interwebs.
Hello, interwebs, hello. Yes. And yes. Hey, what did you think of our previous show?
I thought, you know, it sucked without me, Tia. What can I say? I mean, you know, really, no, actually, it was quite good and very interesting and well done to the whole team for carrying on while I was on this secret assignment.
I just want to excuse us from our listeners right now. If at any point you sound or start to sound like Stephen Hawking, that's something that we can't help. But nonetheless, we're going to do this show. Are we going to do this show?
I can guarantee you I won't sound as smart as Stephen Hawking, but yeah, let's do the show.
Well, I thought that we should make this one, since you are here on the wings of the interwebs, into another special edition, because there is a well-loved celebration just around the corner, right? Do you know which one it is?
It's actually a national holiday for people like myself, Tia. It is April Fool's April, Day.
Yes, April Fool's Day, sometimes called All Fool's Day, in fact. It's celebrated every year on April 1st, right?
Yes, yes.
But yes. Except for you, it's not recognized as a public holiday. But it is very popular around
It's a religious holiday for me, but I, you know. What today's show is about around this theme, right? We're gonna do this about the
we're gonna have an April Fool's themed show, and just to cover it for those listeners who may not know what this day entails exactly. What do people do? People basically go around playing practical jokes on each other, right, and spreading hoaxes.
Oh, as the years have gone on, they've gone from, you know, little tiny things to some very, very elaborate
exactly.
sort of things. And, you know, it gets crazy sometimes, yeah.
And what do you have to do if your evil prank has been successful? But more than just an evil laugh or a mildly upset chuckle. You have to expose the hoax or the practical joke by shouting,
yeah.
April's Fool.
April Fool.
Exactly. So today's show is going to be centered around this theme. I've decided, you've decided, we've all decided, even the news, in fact, because as always, we start with some relevant news from the Copenhagen Post. And then,
Ray, that paper.
Then we have our good old surprise segment. Are you excited?
Even over the interwebs, we're going to do the surprise segment.
We are, yes. Because okay. can this April Fool's edition be any more relevant to the spirit of this segment? I mean, we will do more in this one than simply uncover
okay.
where this prankster tradition originates from, historically. Because I have... I have something quite interesting in store for you, I must say.
Okay, if it's as medically damaging as the hot sauce quiz, we may be talking to attorneys and not April Fools. But all that being said, let's do the news.
Let's do the news. Okay, as per usual, we're opening with a quiz question. And Ray, all you've got to do is tell me, what day was this following video first broadcast on? And I think you know already. I think everybody knows. But I'll give you an extra clue. This is probably the most famous example of its type in the history of mankind.
It isn't only in Britain that spring this year has taken everyone by surprise. Here, in the Ticino, on the borders of Switzerland and Italy, the slopes overlooking Lake Lugano have already burst into flower, at least a fortnight earlier than usual. But what, you may ask, has the early and welcome arrival of bees and blossom to do with food? Well, it's simply that the past winter, one of the mildest in living memory, has had its effect in other ways as well. Most important of all, it's resulted in an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. There's always the chance of a late frost, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavour and makes it difficult for him to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over, and the spaghetti harvest goes forward.
Yes. Of course, it was an April Fool's joke, the famous spaghetti tree hoax. This one, believe it or not, actually fooled a lot of people, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was the 1957 BBC broadcast about spaghetti farming, and it fooled thousands of Brits who had probably only come off post-World War II rationing 3 days earlier. But it fooled them almost to the extent that some asked the BBC for advice on growing their own spaghetti trees.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little silly now, but back then, free information, free everything, bananas were still classified as exotic fruits. So, you know, people were stunned, shell-shocked, whatever you want to use, after the war. So it fooled people, but, and this is a big but, as inventive and, you know, what, it was funny. As amusing as April Fool's gags can be, have we not, maybe as I alluded to earlier, gotten to the point where they're just not funny anymore? Particularly, and this is especially apt because, as I said, I'm hiding out here in Trumplandia, where the White House is basically Groundhog Day stuck in April Fool's Day every day.
Oh, God. We laugh with tears of sadness. And with that in mind, dear podcast listeners, we have compiled our very own top five unfunniest April Fool's list.
You put a lot of work into this because I have to admit to the podcast listeners, I have been, crawling through tunnels and, you know, hiding under Walmarts and stuff. So Tia is the one who is put all of the work into this list, and she has got some stuff that stunned even me. I mean, this stuff is just not funny. Let's
dive in. But I just want to say, Ray, none of this would be the same without you. But please,
thank you so much. The top five unfunniest, and we start with David Letterman style. We start with number five. That's right. Between using an Iron Maiden on his enemies, shooting an army officer who did not salute him, and having three players flogged for 3 days after an Iraqi loss of 4-1 to Japan at the 2000 Asian Cup, Saddam Hussein's son Uday was a real jokester. On the 1st of April in 1998, he ordered the Babylon newspaper to inform its readers that the U.S. had lifted the sanctions on Iraq. And then on the same day in 1999, he claimed that bananas, Pepsi, and chocolate had been added to the monthly food rations, and then in 2000 and 2001, repeated exactly the same jokes. All together now.
April Fools.
It's amazing.
Wow. That's really cruel, Uday. Really cruel. Okay, well, here's number four. In 2000, the Romanian newspaper, Opinia, reported that 60 prisoners were going to be released early. So, following the news, many of their loved ones traveled the length of the country to pick them up, only to learn that it was April Fool's. I mean, imagine that. The whole familia, all packed up in the little car. Mom even made Dumitru's favorite, cabbage rolls. And then, surprise. Yeah.
That's brutal. But let's continue, because, you know, believe it or not, it gets worse. Number three, two DJs in Oregon informed the listeners that the dam had burst, the local dam had burst, in exactly the way that it had really burst a year before, damaging hundreds of homes. Hey, funny DJ guys, April Fools.
Unfunny, yes. Yes, very yes. Much so. Okay, here's, I mean, it gets even worse. Number two, in 2003, the Iraqi ambassador to Russia during the ongoing Iraq war held a press conference in Moscow and told those in attendance that Reuters had just reported that the Americans have accidentally fired a nuclear missile into British forces, killing seven. And then get this. When greeted by stunned silence, he just grinned and shouted, "April Fools."
April Fools. I mean. These, you know, have you noticed there's a, almost sort of a funny politician theme running through here? Quite a few of them have been, you know, that of that ilk. But we've saved the best for last, of course. And yes, it has to be a Danish one. And I remember this one quite well and the outrage it caused. In 2014, the job search website Jobindex ran a fake listing by Copenhagen Zoo looking for an employee with a butchering background whose job would involve killing animals with chainsaws. According to the listing, the zoo planned to make purses, wallets, bags, and suitcases made of dead lions, giraffes, tortoises, and wildebeests as part of a new clothing line, wait for it, called Marius, the name of the giraffe that it controversially killed earlier that very same year. The job listing was taken down within hours as Jobindex finally conceded that they were truly the April Fools.
Wow.
I remember that one well.
Ah, yes, the Danes have really produced some good pranks over the years. I mean, like last year, when the science website videnskab.dk reported that Denmark could buy back the U.S. Virgin Islands, which it sold to the U.S. in 1917, due to a clause in the original contract that stipulated it was possible within a century. So that clause, quote-unquote, runs out today, as March 31 marks 100 years of U.S. rule on the islands of St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John, basically the Danish West Indies, which Denmark acquired in the 17th and 18th centuries and turned into slave plantations.
Can I be honest here with our listeners and you, Tia?
Yes, please.
I actually bought into that one for a little while.
No.
It sounded kind of plausible, you know, 100-year clause. And Videnskab is very good at writing, you know, very good at writing things that seem so scientific. And I read it all the time for true scientific information. So it just didn't seem like the type of people to make, a joke like that. And then I was reading and I went, wait a minute. The flaw here is that the U.S. never gives anything back. So this is where the mistake. All right. So anyway, right now, this week, the Danish Prime Minister, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, is visiting the former colonies because, as he said, the islands constitute an important part of Denmark's history.
That's true, because without them, all those sailors on Nyhavn wouldn't have had all that Caribbean rum to drink, right? And don't forget all that sugarcane either. Well, dentists, I guess, had a lot to thank the slave trade for.
Boy, are you cynical today. You're taking my spot since I'm not over
there. I guess so.
But anyway, will Rasmussen apologize? That is the big question.
That is the big question. I mean, MP Jakob Ellemann-Jensen from Radikale, he reckons that he should follow with a je suis désolé to France for all that Viking raid, I guess.
Well, that'll take a while, and to the British, and to the Irish, and the Faroe Islands, Iceland, Greenland, Canada, Russia, Italy, Ukraine, Iran, and Turkey, the Vikings got around.
Exactly. In fact, why not go the whole hog and apologize to the whole world next time they're gathered? Like in Tokyo, right? For the 2020 Olympics. because we all know what often goes together with an apology born out of national shame in Japan.
You have to do it in Japan, exactly. See, you're dripping the April Fool's cynicism today, I'm just saying. Anyhow, make sure you check out the latest issue of the CPA's Post, which actually hit the streets yesterday. You know, it's hit the streets because it's paper. It's a newspaper. You can read it. You can find out more about the issue or check out our website at cphpost.dk to find out how a particularly fierce African tribe, the Akwamu, spelled the end of Denmark's time as a colonial power. I might read that one myself.
Hey, Ray.
Yes?
Did you hear about a 2013 report by academics at the University of Queensland, that's Australia, claiming that refusing to apologize can have psychological benefits?
I have not. But in other words, it makes you happy, which must explain why Denmark once again has ranked highly in the World Happiness Report, this time finishing, was it second out of 155 other nations?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to admire the Danes. Because after being named the world's happiest nation in 2014, they slipped to third in 2015. But did they spend the next year grumbling and crying into their kolskål? Did they? They got happier, and in 2016, they were world number one again. That's it.
Well done, Norway, they'll say this year. God knows how you do it when a pint of beer costs more than a three-course meal in Bucharest. But anyway, and the last time you had a decent summer there, and I know this for a fact, was sometime before the last ice age.
Yeah, but in reality, the compilers of the report say that there's barely anything to choose between the top five of Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Switzerland, and Finland. And they're right if that anything is the Nordic region. But they do contend that Norway has, let's say, an edge because they're so rich.
Yeah, actually, when you pointed this report out to me, I love this particular quote. By choosing to produce oil deliberately and investing the proceeds for the benefit of future generations, Norway has protected itself from the volatile ups and downs of many other oil-rich economies. In other words, we have the money and we're keeping it.
Exactly. Oh, God, I wish I was Norway. Ray. Ray.
I've never heard a person say they wish they were a country before, but okay.
I'm getting there. Ray, okay. If you want volatility, have you considered the theater?
Theater? Okay, yes. This is new. What's going on here?
Because Lee Elms, the British founder of Left Field Theater, a new addition to the English language scene here, we'll see your Millennium Trilogy and raise you with HBO. Because this man, I'm telling you, likes to play with fire, and he's about to kick the hornet's nest.
The question is the hornet's nest on fire? But anyway, according to Elms, the plays currently being shown in Copenhagen are too middle class, not daring enough or exciting, and certainly falling behind other genres in the 21st century, such as TV, film, music, and art. And he has a point.
He does have a point. I agree with him. So from March 31 until April the 9th at Bastaden Theater at Huse, around Vennekunsten in Copenhagen, Left Field is staging The Pillow Man. An edgy work by Martin McDonagh, the director and screenwriter of In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths. I guess we all know those.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this. Tickets only cost 70 krona. That's a deal anywhere.
Yeah.
And they're available from placetobook.com.
Be warned, though, the play is loaded with offensive imagery and graphically violent and sexual scenes.
But sort of like our podcast, you know.
Basically, yes. But hey.
Yeah, exactly.
We make no excuses.
Of course not. We never make excuses. And just like all of our favorite programs, it's got killer music. Just listen to this track, which has been especially composed for the play.
Well, since we have arrived to the final part of our show, and also considering that we have a special theme today, Ray?
Yes?
Yes, you're there. Good. Okay, let's start with a bit of history lesson, shall we? But at least before...
Oh, you're always taking me to school.
Yeah, I have to. I mean, at least before I start torturing you with my surprise. And no, okay. you cannot disconnect the call. Do not disconnect the call.
look. Oh, sorry.
No, hey,
you got to do it.
Ray, come on. Where does April Fool's come from? Do you know?
I should know, but I don't. I don't.
Okay. Well, there are several versions about where its origins lie. But there's one theory that basically contends that it has something to do with the French. Doesn't
have
anything.
With what?
With the French.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
Well, more specifically, that it dates back to 1582 when France adopted the Gregorian calendar. So before this time, New Year's Day fell on March the 25th rather than January 1st as it is today. And after they've made this switch, if you can call it that, all of those who continued to celebrate the old New Year at the beginning of April were called fools by everybody else.
Sounds very French, yes.
I think it's a little interesting. Of course, they became the target of practical jokes. And now, since we've covered the historical part, and since we've talked about how well-loved these jokes are, not just around the world, but, I mean, here in Denmark, too. Even for the Danish media and official institutions, I mean, I wanted to see how easily you could be fooled, Ray.
Oh, I've been married a lot of times, so apparently I can be fooled easily all the time.
Okay, let me just run it by you. Here's the surprise. I've gathered a list of practical jokes or ridiculous news stories.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, come on. That have they have nothing
going to do with... Going through a tunnel, can't really hear you right now, sorry.
Come on. So, Ray?
Yes.
Yes, okay, there you go. So these news have been either covered on radio, television, newspapers, online, you name it. Even the police could have been on it. But I have a list of these news, but there's a twist. There will be some stories in my list that were not April Fool's jokes, so actual news. There could be just one real story, there could be three real... Nobody knows. No one knows. You have to decide. Your task is to use your brilliant mind and unclouded judgment and guess which one of these stories are fake or real. Or fake. Fake, but true fake. Did I confuse you?
Let's give it a try.
Okay. Let's dive in. Number one. If you're somewhat culinarily inclined, you know that truffles... Do you eat truffles?
Mm-hmm.
They're a delicacy, right? And they're very hard to come by. So,
yes.
Recently, a Danish chef trainee found, get this, 20 summer truffles in the garden belonging to his in-laws... that were the size of human fists.
Size of what?
Human fists. A human fist.
Human fist. Okay. I'm listening. Okay.
So this is the news. Is it true or is it fake? Is this real news or is it fake April Fool's news?
I actually, it's funny you should bring this up today because just the other day, I was listening to a radio program about a guy who is, he is trying to import these things to the U.S., but there's almost like a mafia that handles these things around the world. It's a very organized deal, and they don't want new people to break in. But I happen to know that this particular story is true because this story came up, I want to say, 2 or 3 years ago in the good old Copenhagen.
Yes, but hey, I hope you're not cheating over there and just sort of cruising it on Google while I'm telling you the story.
No, I don't actually. To be perfectly honest with you, I barely have enough internet connection where I'm at to use the phone that we're using. So if I tried to do that, the whole show would come to a screeching halt. So,
all right, but true. It's correct. You have 1 point there.
No, yes. I remember that. I do remember that story from 4 or 5 years. Maybe that wasn't that long ago, but I remember that story going back.
Yeah.
Some years ago about the truffles in Denmark. Yeah.
This is true. It was last year, and it was a man called.
Was it last year? Okay.
Yeah. There's a man called Andreas Kuya, and he actually ended up selling the first kilo and a half to his place of work, a restaurant somewhere in Lyra, for like 4,000 kronas. Yeah. Okay,
that much I didn't
Ray.
Remember, but.
Well, your memory is impeccable.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can get more points. Number two.
Okay, I got one.
You got one? Yeah. The egg group DanEgg developed two new types of egg, particularly rich in vitamin A and vitamin B, respectively. And these eggs come from hens classified as types A or B, with different daily rhythms similar to A or B people. True or fake?
Mm-hmm. Man, don't ask me animal husbandry questions. Come on.
Come on, Ray. Trumplandia, you should know this.
No.
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 Don't you love animals?
I don't think so.
Nah.
Okay. I don't think so. It sounds like I don't think so. I'm just saying.
So what are you saying? You think it's fake or?
I think it's fake news.
Wow, Ray. My God, you're really good at this. What's happening? You're Googling stuff, aren't you? It's just what I don't
no,
see
No, I
you...
told you. Okay. I don't even have my computer here. I mean, no. So is it fake news? That was a blind guess.
It is.
Because it was like right on the edge of, okay, this sounds plausible. You're coming up with stuff that sounds plausible.
But,
and testing my, you know, my rather limited capacity. But
no?
It just, there was something about the formation of the two separate groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hybridization takes a while, so it just seemed a little...
See, there you go. Wow. Again, you sound so sciencey. But indeed, you're correct. You have 2 points now. It was indeed fake news.
Ooh.
Yay!
Well, I am in Trumplandia, so I am something of an expert on fake news right now. You have to sense.
Yeah, this one actually was published on April 1st in 2008 by Berlingske.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very. Let's continue. Number three. Are
All
you
right.
ready?
All right, number three.
Are you ready?
It's fake. Oh, sorry. I don't know.
Bornholm police officials sent out a press release that 4 boats burned in a fire in Åkerkebu Marina in 2007. True or fake?
Say that again.
So the police from Bornholm sent out a press release that 4 boats burned in a fire in Åkerkebu Marina in 2007.
I know a lot about Bornholm because, as you know, I used to live there.
I know. That's why I picked this one.
I don't remember this story. There is no marina in Åkerkebu to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, wow. There you go. I have to
I'm
give you the.
I'm going to say that has to be fake news.
Yes, so. I have to give you the point right away because get this: they actually, the Danish news agency and several other newspapers published this story without checking. without checking the facts even for a second, because as you say, there's no. I mean, this place is like in the dead center of Bornholm. There's no.
It's in the middle of Bornholm. It's like, you know, 30 kilometers away from the water in pretty much any direction, and about 60 in most directions.
Oh man, yeah. Well, it is April Fool's. When it is, it works.
Yeah.
Wow, you have 3 points. Damn.
Woo-hoo. All right. So I'm ahead now.
Okay.
Ahead.
Yes, you are. And we have only 2 left. So let's see.
Okay.
Number 4. It has been reported by Metro Express that in a new eco trend, Danish women prefer to use organic sex toys, massage oils, and chemical-free lubricants. True or fake?
Ah, that's got to be true. That just sounds too Danish not to be true.
Seriously, Ray? I mean, I thought I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to use my diabolic laugh here and this. You're too good. It is.
I know Danish women, man.
You're married to one. I know.
I'm married to one. You know, so it's like, you know, not that she uses any of those things, honey. I'm not suggesting that in any way on this podcast. I am not suggesting that. But in any case,
we're gonna leave that.
Yeah, organics are big here. So,
but yeah. You're right. It's true. Danish women do care about, well, their second mouth. I say this with love.
I'm glad I didn't say that.
Okay.
We're breaking up. I'm going into the top.
No. Yeah, we have to do the last one. I think you're going to get this one as well. Number 5. Queen Margrethe and Prince Hendrik had hired a French relationship therapist named Monsieur Pouchon d'Aville in a bid to save their marriage. True or fake?
That's fake.
That's 5 out of 5. It's true. It's fake. And it was actually Beatty, the tabloid, who ran it. I mean, still very scary.
They're so old school. I mean, it's kind of like, and you know, you've been there for some years, and our engineer this week, Frank, grew up there, and I've been there for 20 some years now. They don't give a rat's patootie about their relationship, so they're not going to hire somebody to fix it. So they're doing just fine the way they are. God bless him.
God bless him, exactly. Well, Ray, well done. 5 points
out
of 5.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. The crowd goes a wild.
And
over
listen,
here.
I mean, I loved your comments too.
Thank you.
You know, as they say, better a witty fool than a foolish wit, right?
I got both covered.
Dear podcast listeners, we do hope that you've enjoyed this show. Please remember that if you, in fact, like it, go into iTunes and leave us a review, because it helps us tremendously in getting up in the ranks.
Please don't forget the Copenhagen Post, CPH Post, is an actual real newspaper that you can find out and about in Copenhagen and other parts of Denmark. Also, a website which is updated by great writers and great journalists on almost a continuous basis at cphpost.dk. It's the only source for really, really up-to-date, being written at the moment English news in Denmark, even online. So make sure you check it out on a daily basis.
Yes, well said, Ray. And thank you so much for joining us and doing the show, even though you're oceans away.
Oceans away, but I will be back live and off color next week. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you over there.
We certainly hope so. See you next week. Thank you.